Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, June 11th, 2020. Protests. Activist coming to Midland to protest Anders incident. District attorney says she's been threatened since group posted her contact information. By Caitlin Randall. Dallas-based activism group Next Generation Action Network and its founders, Dominic Alexander, are planning a protest of the Ty Anders incident for later this month in Midland, according to a Facebook event page. Anders was arrested on May 16th and charged with evading arrest after failing to immediately pull over when a Midland police officer initiated a traffic stop, according to his arrest affidavit. A widely shared bystander video of the incident showed Anders lying in the grass as several officers pointed guns at him. The Facebook event page shows the protest will take place on June 20th at Midland City Hall. That date could have been chosen because it's the weekend of Juneteenth, also known as Freedom Day, when the Emancipation Proclamation took effect in Texas. More than 150 people indicated on Facebook they were interested in the event. The protest appears to be aimed at Midland County District Attorney Laura Nofert, as the picture selected for the Facebook event includes the words "Call to Action" above Nodolf's name, phone number, and email address. It's unclear why Midland City Hall was chosen as the location of the protest. Nodolf is the county district attorney and does not work out of City Hall. Nodolf informed county officials of the protest during a commissioner's court meeting on Monday. She appeared rattled as she told the court she's been receiving death threats since Next Generation Action Network began sharing her phone number and email address online and encouraging their followers to contact her. The protest and posts are likely efforts to pressure Nodolf to drop the charge against Anders. An official with Midland County Sheriff's Office said during Monday's meeting that they are planning to purchase about $34,000 worth of riot gear ahead of June 20th protest, and because of recent Black Lives Matter protests that have happened locally. He said it became apparent during those protests that local law enforcement agencies are not equipped for rioting or looting, though so far protests in Midland and Odessa have remained peaceful. The riot gear that the sheriff's office intends to order would include body armor, shields, gas masks, and grenade launchers, the official said. Alexander and members of Next Generation Action Network previously came to Midland on May 28 when city and county leaders hosted a town hall to discuss Anders's arrest and relationships between law enforcement and Midland's African American community. Near the end of that discussion, Alexander began screaming at officials on the panel to drop the charge against Anders and terminate Midland Police Chief Seth Herman. The disruption created chaos as officials then directed attendees to exit the building. Alexander was indicted on a felony family violence charge in November, after his girlfriend told police he had attempted to strangle her, according to a report from the Dallas Morning News. She later refuted her original statement to police, according to the report. But a Dallas County grand jury still decided there was enough evidence to indict Alexander on a charge of continuous violence against the family. Anderson's lawyer, Dallas civil rights attorney Justin Moore, previously said in a statement that a protest would be planned in Midland as a show of support for Anders. Nodoff said in an earlier statement that the charge against Anders would proceed as any other case. Although Moore alleged an officer struck Anders during his arrest, Nodoff said she did not find any evidence of police wrongdoing after reviewing body and dash cam camera footage of the incident. The event, titled National Call to Action, Justice for Ty Anders, is scheduled for 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. June 20th, according to the Facebook page. Education. MISD votes down new calendar by Stuart Doran. A majority of the Midland ISD school board members sided with parents and teachers surveyed and decided to keep the already approved school calendar in place for the 2020-21 school year. Brian Murray, Tommy Bishop, Robert Marquez, and Board President Rick Davis ended a 3-plus-hour special meeting Wednesday to vote down an intersessional or year-round calendar that provides two-week breaks in October and March, along with normal time off at Thanksgiving and Christmas. John Kennedy, John Trichetti III, and James Fuller voted for what was called Intersessional Calendar B, which was brought before the school board for the first time in a public meeting on Wednesday. The district already had approved a calendar in February and will stick with that calendar. Those voting against the new calendar cited academic concerns. Midlanders responding to the survey that they weren't ready for the new calendar and wanting to use this process as a first step to explore an intersessional calendar in the future. Midland ISD staff lobbied hard for a change to a new calendar. They referenced that intersessional calendar B was more Midland-friendly because it took in complaints they received from parents and teachers. Staff also arranged a call with Socorro ISD officials to receive answers to questions about a possible transition. Staff members not only provided information, but attempted to steer board members in a direction with comments and answers to questions. They talked about how an intersessional calendar provides wiggle room if a coronavirus issue impacts a campus or the district. They said without the flexibility extra days might be added to the 2020-21 schedule. Socorro ISD officials said every school district in the greater El Paso area is moving to what they called a year-round calendar. They talked about how popular it was with parents and staff. They also addressed how board members could handle Midlanders' concerns about the calendar. As expected, Trishiti and Kennedy made their pitches for the new calendar, calling it a calendar that was in the best interest of the school district. They also said Midland ISD needed to be proactive in its scheduling and that the community can't afford to bury its head in the sand when it comes to what is likely to happen if schools are shut down because of the coronavirus. Kennedy referenced Lone Star governance training, saying that the district needed to do what was best for outcomes, even if that impacted adults' conveniences. Murray said parents and teachers spoke loud and clear in the survey offered by the district. He said parents favored the current calendar by a 67.8% to 32.2% margin, and that the spread was even greater with teachers, 70.1% to 29.9%. When asked if the intersessional sample B calendar should be considered, 40.6% of parents voted yes, 44.4% voted no, and 15.4% stated they wanted to consider it for the following year. Teachers were more lopsided in their opposition. Results from the district showed 48.4% voting no, 32.4% voting yes, and 19.2% stating they wanted to consider it for the following year. Davis told the board that every person he spoke to who was familiar with the calendar were unanimous in their approval of it and wanted to see its adoption. He also said the survey was important and that board members represent the district's vision and values, and that this community is not ready for the intersessional calendar. Nearly to a person, board members said they were willing to take the conversation into the next school year and see if an intersessional or year-round calendar can be approved by February 2021, or at least by a date that gives community members enough time to prepare for the following school year. It was stated in the meeting that approving a calendar in June felt rushed to some. Comments were made about teachers and parents still having the opportunity to fill out a survey for intersessional calendar B. At one point, Marquez asked if they should wait for all results to come in before voting. But the consensus was they had enough information and it was hard to see votes Tuesday through Friday changing the overall message that Midlanders favored the current calendar. The meeting was being held on Wednesday was because it had been set before the second survey was sent out, officials said. Calendar feedback. Initial survey. Current calendar for parents. Of the two calendars, the traditional calendar affords students with the greatest instructional opportunities and is recommended to remain the 2020-21 instructional calendar. 72.9% agree, 27.1% disagree. For teachers, of the two calendars, the traditional calendar affords students with the greatest instructional opportunities and is recommended to remain the 2020-21 instructional calendar. 66.1% agreed, 33.9% disagree. Intersessional calendar for parents. Of the two calendars, the innovative calendar affords students with the greatest instructional opportunities and is recommended to remain the 2020-21 instruction calendar. 44% agree, 56% disagree. For teachers, of the two calendars, the innovative calendar affords students with the greatest instructional opportunities and is recommended to remain the 2020-21 instruction calendar. 39.4% agree, 60.6% disagree. Follow-up survey for parents. Should the intersessional sample B calendar be considered for 2020-21 year? 40.6% yes, 44% no, 15.4% consider for the following school year. For teachers, should the intersessional sample B calendar be considered for 2020-21? 32.4% yes, 48.4% no, 19.2% consider for the following school year. For parents, should the intersessional sample calendar be considered for 2020-21? 29.2% said yes, 57.6% no, 13.2% consider for the following school year. For teachers, should the intersessional sample calendar be considered for 2020-21? 28.5% said yes, 57.4% no, 14% consider for the following school year. For parents, should the current calendar remain the 2020-21 instructional calendar? 67.8% yes, 32.2% no. For teachers, should the current calendar remain the 2020-21 instructional calendar? 70.1% yes, 29.9% no. City. Sales tax collection drops by 23.7%. Coronavirus oil downturn results in largest percentage drop in years. By Stuart Doran. The City of Midland reported Wednesday that its sales tax collection for June, which is based on April sales, fell by 23.7% year over year. That is the steepest drop for any month during this downturn. The city reported a collection of $3.588 million, which was more than $1.1 million less than last year and nearly $500,000 less than June 2018. This month's collection still was greater than June collections in 2015 through 2017. Midland was in the midst of the worst parts of closures created by the coronavirus pandemic. Oil prices also dropped, going negative for the first time on April 20th. The year-to-date fiscal year collection also took a dive. Through 9 months, 40.747 million dollars was collected, nearly $4 million less than the pace set during last year's record-breaking collection. For the city, reaching its goal of $55 million in sales tax collected could prove to be difficult. Not only was sales tax down 23.7% this month and 8.71% overall, but the city would need to collect more than 90% of its fourth quarter total from last year to hit its goal. Even if the sales tax collection drops 20% year over year during the last 3 months, July through September, the city would collect more than $53 million, which would make fiscal year 2020's collection the second highest in the city's history. Sales tax report, June 2020, $3,588,201. June 2019, $4,702,936. The difference of negative 23.70%. Fiscal year to date, fiscal year 2020, 40,747,782. Fiscal year 2019, 44,636,599. A difference of negative 8.71%. Note, June's collection is based on sales in April. Midland Development Corp. June 2020, $897,050. FY 2020, $10,186,945, a difference of negative 23.70%. City, case count up to 180. Ashton Medical Lodge employee tests positive. From staff reports, the City of Midland Health Department is currently conducting its investigation on 3 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Midland County, bringing the overall case count to 180. There have been 25 cases confirmed since Monday and 51 since June 1st. According to information provided by the city, the 3 cases, 178 through 180, confirmed Wednesday are a female in her 80s who was tested by the state. She is a resident at Maybe Health Care Center and is self-isolated on the COVID-19 unit of Manor Park. The source of exposure is community acquired. A male in his 20s who was tested by a private provider. He is currently self-isolating at home. The man is an employee at McCoy's, who last worked on Monday. He was not in a role where he interacted with public, according to the press release from the city. The source of exposure contact to a known case. A male in his 70s who was tested by the state. He is an employee at Ashton Medical Lodge and is currently self-isolating at home. He last worked on Monday. The source of exposure is community acquired. The Midland Health Department website indicates that of the total number of cases, 110 are female, 70 are male. The website also states that of the 180 cases, 83 people have recovered, 5 are hospital inpatients, 20 people are in nursing homes or rehab facilities, 55 people are in home isolation, 4 people have completed isolation, and 13 people have died. Ector County reports 7 new cases by J.C. Lewis. Ector County reported 7 more cases of coronavirus on Wednesday, bringing the total to 221. Ector County reported 22 probable cases at this time, according to the Ector County Health Department website. ECHD reported that 150 people have recovered. There have been 2,953 tests taken with 2,655 negative results and 77 pending results. ECHD has contacted 2,164 people during contact tracing. Ector County by the numbers. Confirmed cases, 221. Days since first case was confirmed, 75. By gender, male, 89, female, 132. Age group, 0 to 19 years old is 24. 20 to 29 is 35. 30 to 39 is 53. 40 to 49 is 30. 50 to 59 years old is 40. 60 to 69 is 25 people. 70 to 79 is 8. 80 to 89 is 5. 90 to 99 is 1. Source of exposure. Travel related, there is 8. Person to person, 87. Community spread, 6. Unknown, 126. Texas reports record COVID-19 patients for third straight day by Paul J. Weber from Associated Press. Austin. Texas on Wednesday reported a third consecutive day with a record number of patients hospitalized with COVID-19 as a new rise in coronavirus cases ripples across state nationwide. More than 2,500 new cases were also reported in Texas, by far a single day record. The upward trends comes 6 weeks into Texas's reopening that began in May, which kicked off one of the fastest reboots of daily life in the U.S., and as restaurants get permission to expand their dining rooms to nearly full capacity starting Friday. While thousands of hospital beds remain available, officials are voicing concerns. Throughout the record-setting week in Texas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott and state health officials have pointed out hotspots in rural counties with meatpacking plants and prisoners, but have not offered an explanation of rising caseloads elsewhere. But on Wednesday, some big city officials and health experts readily linked the worsening numbers to businesses reopening and people growing more complacent with social distancing. "This is a concerning trend," said Dr. Mark Escott, the interim health authority for Austin Police Health in the Texas Capitol. Surrounding Travis County set a record Tuesday with 161 new cases, nearly double its previous single-day high. Midlander sentenced on child pornography charges, from staff reports. A 32-year-old Midland man was sentenced Wednesday to a statutory maximum 80 years in federal prison for producing and distributing child pornography, according to a press release from the U.S. Attorney Offices for the Western District of Texas. U.S. District Judge David Counts also ordered that Christopher Ernest Martinez be placed on supervised release for a period of 10 years after completing his prison term. Martinez pleaded guilty on December 10, 2019, to two counts of production of child pornography and one count of distribution of child pornography. Co-defendant Kelsey Renee Hubbard, 23, of Midland, was sentenced on March 4th to 40 years in federal prison, followed by 10 years of supervised release, after pleading guilty to one count of aiding and abetting production of child pornography and one count of distribution of child pornography. A local business contacted the Midland Police Department on September 30, 2019, after a computer it had brought from Hubbard. The computer contained several images of children engaged in sexually explicit conduct, according to the release. The business contacted MPD when Hubbard appeared the next day, attempting to sell jewelry. Officers arrived on the scene and detained Hubbard, who told investigators that she attempted to clear the computer's memory before selling it. She also consented to allow MPD to search her cell phone. A forensics exam of her phone revealed several text messages in September 2019 in which Hubbard and Martinez exchanged approximately 60 images of child pornography, most of them produced by Hubbard at the request of Martinez, according to the release. San Angelo artist combines naturalism with art, by J.C. Lewis. Odessa. Problems that affect animals and people is the theme of Animal Magnetism, an exhibit by San Angelo artist Kate Bunker at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. Bunker, who uses the pseudonym Kate Truth, was the Best in Show winner of last year's juried exhibition. For Animal Magnetism, she uses similes and metaphors to represent those problems. She hasn't always wanted to depict animals in her artwork. I drew them all the time for work, with camps and stuff, and I did artwork around the Nature Center, she said. I've done a bunch of painting for the Nature Center, and I made a big point of having a pseudonym for my actual art, which was Kate Truth. I wanted this clear division between the fact I could draw things realistically versus what I was really feeling deep inside by all my emotions coming out in art. Bunker worked as a naturalist at San Angelo Nature Center for a decade while she was adjunct at Angelo State University. She says she loves animals and became a certified animal rehabilitator for the state through the Texas Parks Wildlife Department. She stopped working as a naturalist when she started her full-time teaching job at ASU. When that happened, she started to incorporate more animals into her artwork. Eventually, I caved and decided to merge the two, and once I did, it was extremely liberating, Bunker said. Her piece that won in last year's juried exhibition, Truth, Tubula Rosa, Animal Edition, is a video taking the viewer through animal extinctions drawn, then erased on a chalkboard tablet. I really doubled down on the idea of wiping the slate clean, she said. We literally wiped these animals off the face of the earth with great ease and nonchalance. I kind of enjoy that idea of carelessness in which we do things. This is the same concept behind the toys. Animal magnetism features different mixed-medium pieces of artwork. One piece, Poorly Played, is a collection of 10 animal toys. She said the artwork symbolizes how animal species can be disposable to humans when they aren't cared for. We're very careless with our animal species in general, she said. We did not have the forethought back then of, hey, we might run out of these animals. We should probably stop doing this. We have the forethought now, and also we don't care to some degree about certain species, which we would rather use the land for something else than care about these last four individuals of species. The exhibit includes large paintings that address addiction and traumatic situations through animal imagery. She said she switched out red paint for pink paint in those paintings because she didn't want the viewer to see only the gore fest. I wanted the pieces to be less threatening and something to stand there and think about, because I want it to be something more intellectual and less in-your-face intrusive, Bunker said. She consults with a therapist in San Angelo to help correctly depict pieces focused on mental health and trauma. She says she is a victim of trauma and knows other victims of trauma. She said that going forward, she is focusing on new work depicting love due to trauma in daily life and what is happening in the world now. I'm currently working on a piece called Puppy Love, which explores different types of loves as exemplified by the Greeks, she said. Originally, the Puppy Love series was going to be about victims. However, she said she wanted to work on something more positive because of current state of world. Bunker will be in attendance at the closing reception for Animal Magnetism. It is planned for 6 p.m. at August 6th. Also on display at the museum is 2020 Insight. the 62nd Annual Permian Basin Juried Art Exhibition. It will be on display until August 9th.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 11, 2020. Hands-on demo. Midland Fire Department driver Greg Richardson talks about Engine 5, a pumper unit. New firefighters at Stations 1, 3, and 5 met at Hill Park off Cuthbert Avenue on June 4 for hands-on demonstrations and training. City pools are open. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are open. Because of less than normal staffing, the pools will operate on different days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. The governor's orders limit attendance to 50% of normal occupancy, according to a press release from the city. In an effort to accommodate as many people as possible and to allow staff to clean the facilities, entry passes will be sold for 3-hour sessions. Passes, which are $3, go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year, according to the release. Also, because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, but swimmers will be allowed to bring chairs. Anyone with coronavirus symptoms or who has been exposed to anyone that was symptoms in the previous 14 days should not go to the pools, according to the release. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday. Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Volunteers wanted. These select area volunteer opportunities and events are provided by MSS Connections, a program of MSS made possible by the Warren Charitable Foundation. For more information, visit mssconnections.org. Petroleum Museum, Wild About Science, Summer Science Camp. Contact Mara Bland, 683-4403. American Red Cross, Virtual Opportunities. Contact Stacy Pickett, 425-7637. Midland Storytelling Festival. Contact Carol James, carol.james.52@gmail.com, 685-3876. Legal Aid During COVID. lanwt.org, 686-0647. Alzheimer's Association. Contact Janet Cross, jcross@alz.org, 528-3664. MCPL extends curbside service. Midland County Public Library has extended its curbside service at the downtown branch. Hours are now 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Patrons may reserve materials online and will receive an email with instructions for curbside pickup. The branches, which are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday during coronavirus, will continue reserving the first hour of each day for at-risk patrons, such as those age 65 or older, and children age 5 or younger, accompanied by an adult. Groups may not exceed 10 people, and field trip activities are not available. Notary services, passport acceptance, and meeting room reservations are not yet available at either branch, according to a press release from the library. Use of the genealogy department is available by appointment only and may be scheduled by calling 742-7400. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab-and-go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Dizavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarborough Elementary Schools. Fire Station Number 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. MISD has served more than 405,000 meals during the COVID-19 related closure of schools. Victoria Beck, Director of Child Nutrition Services, said. Daily menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, June 11th, Opinion Page. Opinion Extra. Midlanders must do better to stem rise in number of cases. I hope there is a drop in the number of coronavirus cases Midland is experiencing. At this point, hope is all anyone can do. Our community has made its decision, and we are going to open our businesses and attempt to return to life before COVID-19. And I will not disagree that we had no other choice. Unemployment can't hover at more than 10%. Government requires people spending their money across the city, not online. School at home is not a path for those in Midland ISD or other educational institutions in our city, at least not the vast majority. I don't have a problem with restaurants, stores, or just about anything else being open. Graduation ceremonies? It can be, or at least could have been done, if there was the willingness. Again, I would have supported that decision. We can disregard social distancing, gather at the MLK Community Center to talk about racial issues, or protest at Midland Park Mall and downtown. We can open our pools. Again, you won't catch me saying no to anything. But then again, I will still worry when coronavirus lingers, because that is what's happening. Numbers in June are frankly dwarfing the rather pedestrian numbers we were putting up in April and May. The Midland Health Department reports 51 confirmed cases this month. To put that number in perspective, that is more cases than during the previous 4 weeks and more than one-third of the cases from the previous 2 months. And the people impacted are younger. Take the 22 cases reported Monday and Tuesday inside Midland County. All were younger than 60, and more than two-thirds were younger than 40. And what is the age range with the most number of cases? It is no longer 80 and above. It is 20 to 29. There are as many 30-somethings who have tested positive for coronavirus as 80-somethings and more between 0 and 19 years of age with COVID-19 than between 70 and 79. My guess is it will get worse. Many of those who have it right now aren't even aware of it. Midland Memorial Hospital's chief medical officer, Dr. Larry Wilson, knows how to slow the spread, but good luck getting people to wear a mask. Even our county judge has made his call on that. It's bad politics. He'd rather spend thousands on a texting program that had no impact on our emergency response to coronavirus. I guess he gets his credit for buying the basin. Do I wear a mask? Not as much as I should, I am sad to say. Again, all I can do is hope. I will try and do better. Will you? Editor Stuart Doreen.
Obituaries. Bert Cornelius Jr. Bert Cornelius Jr. was a man of the greatest generation, born on June 2, 1925, in Bronte, Texas, to the late Bert and Molly Cornelius. At the age of 17, he enlisted in the Navy during World War II, where he was assigned to the Wooden Navy on PT Boat 79 in the Pacific. He married Oweta Hibbets Cornelius on June 14, 1947, in Levington, New Mexico. He worked for Phillips 66 in Hobbs, New Mexico, at the Fullerton Gas Plant in Andrews, Texas. In 1952, he joined the Texas Department of Public Safety as a patrolman. He was stationed in Lubbock, Alpine, Abilene, and Midland. He retired in Midland in 1980, and after 28 years of service. Bert was a member of the Church of Christ, Masonic Lodge, VFW, and the American Legion. He is survived by his wife of 73 years, Oweta Cornelius, his son, Gordon Cornelius, and wife, Donna of Midland, daughter, Debbie Glennon of Midland, son, Bruce Cornelius, and wife, Carolyn of Lipin. Bert is also survived by 7 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Visitation will be Wednesday, June 10th, 2020, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. The service will be June 11th, 2020 at 1 p.m. in the chapel at Ellis Funeral Home, followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, please give to Cal Fraley Boys Ranch or your favorite charity. Donald Stacy Hunt. Donald Stacy Hunt, 71, of Midland, Texas, passed away on June 9, 2020. A rosary was held at 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 10, 2020, at Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A viewing visitation will begin at 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, June 11, 2020, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Services will be held at 2 p.m. immediately after viewing at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Intermittent will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Don was born on August 31, 1948, in Klamath Falls, Oregon, to Earl and Lola Hunt. Don joined the Army in 1967 and was a Vietnam veteran. Don married Leela White in March 1971. Don was very loving and family was everything to him. Don is survived by Leela, his wife of 49 years, sons Charles Hunt and wife Lisa, Jerry Hunt and wife Mandy, Randy Hunt and wife Bridget, and daughter Catherine Hunt. He had 12 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. Survivors also include brothers Jerry Dan Hunt, Stephen Earl Hunt, and sister Zelda Jones, and numerous nieces and nephews that he loved dearly. Don is preceded in death by his parents, Earl and Lola Hunt. The family would like to express their gratitude toward Home Hospice. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Home Hospice, 808 West Missouri Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Milton Papa Clyde Keith. Milton Papa Clyde Keith was born to the union of Zeller and Geneva Keith on June 21, 1958, in Midland, Texas. Milton married his longtime love, Barbara Gail Mitchell, on November 22, 1997, where they resided in Las Vegas, Nevada. Milton went home to be with the Lord on Thursday, June 4, 2020. He now resides in heaven with Zeller and Geneva Keith, his parents, Laverne Brewer and Carolyn Keith, sisters, Zeller Keith, Jr., Eddie Keith, and Arthur Keith, his brothers, and Henry Brewer, a nephew. Milton will be a guardian angel to Alvin Keith, John Keith, and Thurley Williams. He leaves to cherish precious memories, his wife, Barbara Keith, 2 daughters, Shauna Zeller and Latarsha Hickman and two grandsons. Funeral services will be held Saturday, June 13, 2020 at 11 a.m. at Evergreen Cemetery Chapel. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Death notices. Rolando Salas. Rolando Salas, 35, of Presidio, passed away Friday, June 5, 2020. Viewing will be Friday, June 12, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with an evening talk starting at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. A funeral service is set for Saturday, June 13th at 10 a.m., also at Heavenly Gate Chapel. Burial will follow to Serenity Memorial Gardens. He is survived by his companion, Becky Little, his son, Maleo Salas, his parents, Reynaldo Salas Ramirez, and Eva Salas Molinar, his grandmother, Virginia Salas, three brothers and two sisters.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.